your Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
My name's Joe DiBiase. I hate that my phone autocorrects OMW to on my way, exclamation point.
And Jordan Hanskin, I refuse to let autocorrect win when I'm on my phone. So if it autocorrects, I delete it and type something else.
Do you turn it off, or you love the struggle? You love the constant.
I like the battle. I like defeating autocorrect.
Have you ever you do usually win, obviously.
Oh yeah,
you just
hit delete, and or you can click on the. I think on my phone, it's like you click on the word on the left, and that's the original word. Mm-hmm. And I tell them no autocorrect. You will not switch this word.
One that I'll always fight is like when you – so like this happens for me whenever I type in LeBron. Whenever I type in LeBron, it autocorrects it to all caps LeBron, because maybe the first time I ever typed in LeBron on that phone, it was like a crazy dunk or something. So now every time LeBron. I type in his name, it thinks I want all caps. And I have to go back and change it to low caps. Does that ever happen to you too? Because that I've found is maybe the most annoying of the autocorrects.
I mean, yeah, that one's funny too, the all caps ones. Cause yeah, there are like sports moments where you send it to your friends like, oh my gosh, are you seeing this?
Right. LeBron.
But it's yeah.
And then there are times where you just,
I think our group chat with our friend group, we have those a lot. Like somebody posts like,
yes, something like, happens.
Are you indeed watching what I am watching?
Right. And we all want everyone to know I'm watching it too.
Right. Like Liberty Temple.
See, that'll never be me though. Someone will tag, and that's funny too though. When you're not watching or you have no idea about some like FCS game that's going on or something, and then your friends in your group chat are going crazy about something, you're like, "What are we talking about right now? Like, are they watching bowling? Are they watching? Are they watching cricket? Like, what could you have no idea?"
That's the thing about the rise of the sports gambling is that you always have the one friend that's watching the ESPN3. Waiting for the thing to load up and yeah. All that stuff. Like, instead of just watching the normal game that's on, right. CBS.
No, yeah, he's got the over on a wide receiver prop bet for Holy Cross. Like, yeah, we've got one or two of our friends in this group chat that we're talking about that are like that. Locked On Sabres podcast, Joe DiBiase at Sneaky Joe Sports on Twitter, Jordan Hanskin at JR Hanskin on Twitter. We are going to continue on with our Olympic projections. We are at Team Sweden. We've only got a couple more to go, so we'll finish off just in time. Jordan, we got to get our opening night lineup draft settled here. We'll plan that.
Oh, no.
Say we don't have to.
No, I mean we should do it, but it's gonna depress me.
Yeah, that's true. But before we get into our Sweden projections, I touched on this on our last episode, but I'll just give you a chance here. Did you have any takeaways from Dahlin's contract? 3 years, $6 million per year. There's really nothing new with Eichel. I mean, he reported for his physical and he failed it. So I don't really think anything's changed there.
This is one that, I mean, I think the deal's fair. But I get a little worried about the bridge deals now. The team is bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're thinking 3 years from now, we're going to have some graduated players that we should help us out a lot. And not even counting the ones that we might get over the next couple of years where we're going to be really bad.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like it scares me because like this is another guy. It's 3 years. He'll be a UFA.
No, he'll be an RFA again in 3 years.
Oh, then never mind. Cancel that out. Yeah. But yeah, like even then though, like, cause you can still be a mad RFA. You can just then do what Reinhardt did and be like, I'll just take a 1 year deal.
Right.
Or I'll just take this deal. And then it's like, you know, you're not really locking him up long term. For Dahlin, though, I get it. Like, you're betting on yourself. Like, okay, 3 years from now, I'm going to be even better, mm-hmm. and I'll get paid more. So from his side, I like it. From the Sabres' side, I don't hate it. Like, it's definitely not, like, something I'm mad about. But I am like, all right, like, because I believe in Dahlin. I think Dahlin's going to end up being good. And I'm worried that we might lose him.
Yeah. I'm not there yet, but, I mean, this is what happens when you're this bad. Every time you got a good young player, start the clock. Like, you better figure things out before that guy gets into the middle of his prime, because as you've seen with Eichel and Reinhardt and Ristolainen and Allmark, if those guys can help it at all, they can find a way to push their way out. They're going to do it. And you're going to be left wondering about that if you can't get it together. If you can't get it together in 3 years, then we'll be talking about it with Dahlin. We probably won't talk about it in between. But again, start the clock. Like, you better figure things out by the time this guy is in his prime, because this is another generational talent. He hasn't hit on that potential yet, but yeah, I think I'm on my thoughts on last episode, I was pretty much in the same place you were. And then anything on Eichel? I mean, we're just kind of waiting, right? We're just waiting.
It's good for the Sabres that he's showing up to do stuff.
He showed up to fail his physical, and then he's probably going back to wherever, to Boston or Massachusetts, wherever he is. I'd imagine.
Do we know if he had the surgery or no?
No, he does not have the surgery at this point. He saw he's seen specialists on the West Coast, but at this point, who knows? Like, we're waiting for any surgery resolution. We don't have it yet, and I think other teams aren't going to do anything either until they know what it is. So we're just kind of waiting around for news on that. We've been waiting months, and it's just like that's what we're waiting for.
The worst.
I continue to wonder. It's almost kind of reckless to speculate on this, but I'm coming at it from putting myself in Jack Eichel's shoes. If I'm Jack Eichel, I'm desperate to get to the Olympics. The next face off I take, I want it to be in red, white, and blue. And I've not played a meaningful game in 6 years. If I have the artificial disc replacement surgery, the surgery he already wanted, by the way, in the first place, if I have that surgery in the next month or two, I can still play at Beijing. The fusion, you can't. It's out of the question. If you get the Sabre surgery, it's done. But if I get the disc replacement surgery, I can make it to Team USA. I can make it to Beijing. If I'm Eichel, I might just go say, you know what? I'm just going to go pay out of pocket, do the surgery on my own, and then deal with whatever ramifications come with it with the Sabres.
Yeah, I mean, he has that option.
What will probably happen if he did that, though, I would imagine, is he'd be suspended without pay. So you'd be forfeiting a lot of money. I mean, you're talking about
to play in a tournament,
right? It'd almost be like he's paying millions of dollars for the right to go to the Olympics.
I hate to say this too, but there's no guarantee the U.S. puts him on the roster. If he hasn't played,
yeah,
at all.
Man,
I mean, yeah, if I was running the team, I would still want him.
Right, but it's not a guarantee. You're right. You'd have to know to do that. You would have to know that
that's like out. That's Team USA, especially of all the teams, their history with like star players instead, yeah. Or like, let's, okay, we could either take Eichel or we could take some guy that might ram somebody into the boards.
Maybe this is not a good theory, by the way, because Kevin Adams has worked with USA Hockey. He was assistant GM at the world. He was assistant GM at the World Championships this year. Didn't know that. So okay, you know what? Let me backtrack on that a little bit. Maybe not such a good idea. Maybe he did the research on that.
I think he's got to play some NHL games before he gets to Team USA. Which would still promote the idea that you're talking about, is he should get his own surgery and deal with whatever comes his way.
See, I thought of the Olympics as an opportunity for the Sabres. Like, have him play his next games. You don't want him in your uniform, and maybe he doesn't want to be in your uniform, whatever it is. Have him play in the Olympics to show other teams, like, look, he's still Jack Eichel. That's what I thought about for that. But maybe Team USA is not going to want to be a trial run.
Would you be mad if he played in our uniform this year? Like,
no, not at all. Not at all. I want him to play in the uniform because that's how you're going to rebuild his value.
Right. And I'm cool with trading him. I'm like, at this point it's over, but like it's going to happen, but it's like, I'm totally fine with trading him, but we need some showcase games.
Yes, we need We need some showcase games. That's exactly right. But anyways, we got to wait for surgery first, so we'll see what comes of that. All right, Team Sweden. Team Sweden is where we are at in our Olympic projections. We've done the U.S., we've done Canada, we have done Russia. You could check out all of those projections on our feeds on the Odyssey app, Spotify, Locked On podcast.com, as well as our YouTube channel, Locked On Sabres, where you can now watch the podcast. All right, let's start with Team Sweden. Line one. What do you like for line one for the Swedish national team? Okay, we'll get to Dahlin, by the way, a little bit later, but go ahead.
So I got Nicholas Backstrom centering a line with Elias Pettersson and William Nylander.
Okay. You know what? I already made a glaring mistake by forgetting Elias Pettersson. Holy cow. That's a bad one. All right. So I'm going to have to do some adjusting here. So what was your line again with Backstrom, Pettersson, and Nylander?
Yes.
Okay. Backstrom is old, but he's still productive. 53 points in 55 games last year. Not a lot of scoring though on that line, right? A lot of playmaking is what that sounds like to me. But anyways, let me put Pettersson in there. I would have the same first line because Pettersson would just overtake the guy I originally had in at left wing. So I guess I'll go ahead and give my line two then, since you got our line one. I've got Mika Zibanejad as the second line center with Philip Forsberg on the right and Gabriel Landeskog on the left. Is that similar to what you had?
Yeah, similar. I actually had I like Victor Arvidsson a lot. Okay. I put him on line two. But yeah, I'm good with Landeskog, Zibanejad, and Philip Forsberg. Yeah, that's totally fine with me.
All right. I guess
we can move Arvidsson on line three.
I don't have Arvidsson on my team.
Wow.
I don't know. He was bad last year. Now, was it a little fluky? Is he going to return to form? Because really, that's happened to everybody in Nashville. Like, maybe there's just something down there. You know, Matt Duchene has seen a dramatic drop off. Ryan Johansson, Arvidsson, like everybody has. So maybe it's the coach. And maybe I should give Arvidsson more credit and he'll return to form with the Kings this year as he was traded there.
Can kick him off if you don't want him. That's fine.
No, we'll have two teams here. It's fine. Line three. What's your line three for Team Sweden?
So I had Arvidsson on line two with Landeskog and Zibanejad. So now I'm going to have Philip Forsberg, William Karlsson, and Jakob Silfverberg.
Okay. Silfverberg is a veteran player, one I did not have on my team, but he was tough. He was in the running. Forsberg is darn good.
Yeah.
For line three. Pretty deep on the wing. I also have William Karlsson as my third line center of the Vegas Golden Knights. I mean, he's been a number one center on one of the best teams in hockey the past couple of years. He's not the 40 goal scorer that he was in that first year there, but he's still a very productive player. Good two-way player as well. I have Karlsson centering Andrei Burakovsky and Elias Lindholm. I'm going a little bit younger with my team. I love Burakovsky's speed. I wanted him on the wings here at some point. Now with the Colorado Avalanche. And Lindholm has taken a big jump with Calgary the past couple of years after being traded there from Carolina, where he was like a 40-point guy. With Calgary, 78 points in 81 games, 54 points in 70 games, 47 points in 56 games. And he's pretty good in his own end. So kind of an overall two-way, back-and-forth type of line with Lindholm on the right. How about your line four? Team Sweden, we're doing forwards right now. Jordan, your team, your line four.
So my fourth line is Elias Lindholm is actually centering Rickard Rakell and Gustav Nyquist.
Oh, the Nyquist. Columbus.
Gotta have a Nyquist.
We got a lot of differences here. But Sweden, they were one of the harder teams to do for me because a lot of their forwards are very close to me. Like the difference between Rakell and the guys I have here, like to me are minuscule at most. My line four, I went in an odd fashion for me, because I usually just go skill, 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 skill. I just pour as much offensive talent in as I can. I went for more of like a checking defensive fourth line with Mikael Backlund centering Patrick Hornqvist and Jesper Bratt of the New Jersey Devils. Bratt is kind of ascended a little bit in the last couple of years, 30 points last year in 46 games. So he's not just a defensive forward anymore. Hornqvist, I think will probably make the team as like that career achievement guy that we've put on and still pretty productive, 32 points in 44 games last year for the Panthers. And Backlund is just a good two-way centerman, who also puts up some pretty good numbers as well. 32 points in 54 games. And then I threw a 13th forward in here with Victor Olofsson.
I was thinking about him.
Listen, for the 13th forward spot, which you can dress a 13th forward in the Olympics, he's perfect because you'd never
for the Olympics. Why would you not want that shot? That's right. What I'm just thinking is you have a guy that's literally the one trick pony.
Right. You don't have to play him a second at 5-on-5. Not 1 second. Just play him on the power play. That's it.
Right.
That's what you do.
I love it. I love it. That's who I was thinking about.
Yeah. Would you make him your 13th forward too then?
Yeah. Him or Burakovsky.
Okay. Oh, we have right Burakovsky. That's tough.
But I didn't have Burakovsky. But yeah. I mean, Victor Olsen, such a specialist.
He's one of these Sabres that will be close, I think, to whether or not he's playing in the Olympics or not. All right. So let's get to our defense core, which I think I'm just going to guess here that we both have another Sabre, but we'll get to that in just a second. I want to tell you about Fantrax, Locked On NHL's favorite fantasy hockey site. I actually just moved one of my fantasy hockey leagues from another site to Fantrax because you can customize everything. It's so user-friendly. It gives you so many different options. We wanted to do a slow draft where it took 8 hours to pick. And it's done over the course of several days rather than having everybody at one time, make sure they're on their computer. And the other site we were on didn't even provide that option. Fantrax gave you like a dozen different options for a draft like that. So hockey fans, go to Fantrax. Locked On Sabre fans, you'll be entered to win an official NHL signed Nathan MacKinnon jersey by simply going to Fantrax.com/LockedOn and signing up. It's the top dynasty hockey platform in the industry. It's the most customizable platform offering the greatest fantasy experience for your dynasty keeper, redraft, and best ball leagues as well. You can do best ball hockey. I don't know how I feel. Best puck. They could be called best puck actually. But anyways, not just hockey, football, baseball, basketball, college basketball, college football, golf. We have a fantasy golf league that's on Fantrax. Soccer, NASCAR, you got anything. If there is anything lacking in your current fantasy league manager, Fantrax likely has it. Fantasy sports doesn't sleep, neither does Fantrax, with seasons running 365 days a year. There's a reason why fantasy players who try Fantrax make it the permanent home for all of their fantasy leagues. Again, sign up for free today and be entered to win an official NHL signed Nathan MacKinnon jersey by going to Fantrax.com/LockedOn. Fantrax.com/LockedOn. All right, defense core for Team Sweden at the Olympics, Joe DiBiase and Jordan Hanskin. Jordan, what is your top pair for Team Sweden?
Victor Hedman, and I know this guy has been off his game, but I'm going to put Erik Karlsson there. I think he's too big of a stud. Sweden's going to have him on the team.
They are, but top pair.
My thinking is the Zach Bogosian treatment.
Okay. No, I like this actually. Explain for those Victor that do not know what that means.
Victor Hedman can make anyone look decent.
Right.
Zach Bogosian had a simple mission: pass it to Victor Hedman when he was playing for the Lightning. I watched their games intently because I was so curious about Zach Bogosian's performance, and it was a simple game plan for him. If the puck goes to you, get it to 77. And I think Erik Karlsson is more competent than Zach Bogosian.
I would agree with that. Even if he's not the player he once was, he's certainly
But certainly that. When in doubt, pass it to 77. Right. And you'll be okay. So I think Erik Karlsson will be fine with Victor Hedman.
I like this. I did not have this pairing, but you made a very convincing argument, and I like it. It's kind of putting him in a protected role. Like if he is going to be on the team, where would he have the most success? And I think you found the right spot for him. I had Hedman with Rasmus Dahlin. I have Dahlin on the right side. He played on the right side, his offside, until he got to the Buffalo Sabres, because the Sabres are simple-minded a lot of these times. And they think they have to change people's positions to make them right. They did it with Sam Reinhart. They did it with Dahlin. I think Sweden puts Dahlin back on the right. They put him with Hedman. And I guess a lot of the same arguments you made for Karlsson, I'd want to make for Dahlin. He's been inconsistent his first couple of seasons, but he's got that offensive ability. He's got, like, when did he play well last year with Don Granato as the coach? It was when Granato kind of took the chains off him and said, all right, kid, we're going to put you with Joki Haru, who we know is going to stay at home. And we're going to let you kind of float around. We're going to let you carry the puck in, do whatever you want. Like, we're going to release the boundaries on you. And to me, putting him with Victor Hedman would allow him to do that as well, because you know you can rely on that guy. He is a horse that is always going to be up and down the ice in the right spots. And if you make a mistake, then maybe it's not going to get you beat. So that was my argument for Rasmus Dahlin being on the top pair. He would be my second Saber on Team Sweden. My third Saber overall, because we both had Jack Eichel on Team USA. Dahlin on my top pair. I'll let you go to your second pair. I'm imagining you're going to get to Dahlin somewhere soon here, but I'm not sure. So let's go to Jordan.
No, we will. I got Hampus Lindholm and John Klingberg on my second pair.
Hampus Lindholm and John Klingberg. All right. Klingberg is very interesting. He's kind of tall and lanky, and somehow he just is very – he's very dynamic despite his body type, which is kind of a – it's a weird one. Like, usually the guys, like, that can skate and move the puck like him are like Cale Makar is kind of a smaller defenseman, Quinn Hughes, but I like Klingberg a lot. I have Klingberg on my right side for my second pair as well. I have him with Oliver Ekman-Larsson, though. And that was a tough one for me, because I don't think Oliver Ekman-Larsson is actually as good as his reputation is, but I'm going to be honest. I don't really love Sweden's defense corps. I don't love it. I think it's a lot of names, but maybe not a lot of guys that are actually that good. But anyways, I put Ekman-Larsson there because of the offensive ability. He could score goals. Third pair for you.
Yeah, Ekman-Larsson's playing with Dahlin.
Wow. Okay.
It's a weird pair.
Was that just the two guys you had left, or did you like something about them together?
No, I mean, I don't. Oliver Ekman-Larsson always I always thought of him as kind of lumbering, even though he's kind of like he wasn't offensive, but he is kind of like lumbering for some reason. Some reason for him, I thought of like it's so wrong, but for some reason I just like Sheldon Surrey.
That's a good comp. That's a good comp. I like
it. Is it a good comp? It's just like it is. When I watch him play, I'm like, Sheldon Surrey's playing.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, Surrey would like he would bury people over the middle of the ice.
He would.
Ekman-Larsson's not that, but the rest of it, I kind of like that.
The shot, the size, and I don't know. I kind of just like the tall guy with the little guy. Even though Dahlin's not even that small.
Dahlin might be taller than him.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean. Like, obviously,
he seems small. Doesn't Dahlin like he kind of plays small?
Dahlin, he definitely does. I tweeted out a series of advanced stats for Dahlin earlier, and the only areas in which he was below average, like passes, he was like 94th percentile, zone entries, 89th percentile, puck control, 94th percentile. This is relative to the rest of the league's defensemen. Zone exits, 83rd percentile. And then you got the puck battles and win percentage, 6th percentile. Wins he's per young. 60, he's, 3 he percentile, battles per 60, 12 percentile. So, like, yeah, he's certainly what you just described there.
He needs more muscle. He's young.
Yeah.
I think that's simply what it is he just got to get, like, stronger.
Yeah. I have Erik Karlsson on my third pair. I think he will be on this team. Might as well put him there. And, again, I don't like the blue line that much. So, like, even though he's not the same player he was, I think he's still one of their six best defensemen. Like, put him on the power play as well. Can still move the puck. He just can't move really like he used to. And then I've got Matthias Ekholm on the other pair of the Nashville Predators. They decided to keep him over Ryan Ellis, which I thought was head scratching, but a good sturdy defenseman, good in his own end. He gives you a little bit of offense. Big bodied, 6'4", 215, biggest defenseman other than Hedman, I think I have on here for them. I like that Ekholm. And then as my seventh defenseman, I went with Jonas Brodin of the Minnesota Wild. Kind of just a smooth defenseman that's not very flashy. You're never going to see him on highlight reels, but you're also never going to see him making a lot of mistakes, which means you're not going to see him a lot, which to me means he's a pretty good defenseman. So I went with Jonas Brodin there. Did you have a seventh, or did you want to move on to goaltending?
Yeah, I had Ekholm.
Ekholm. Okay. All right. Before we get to our goaltenders, that'll be interesting. This will be very interesting, especially mine. DirecTV Stream. I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle. DirecTV Stream brings you live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. And the best part, there's no annual contracts, so stop watching and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. I'm on a race against the clock, by the way, because Succession is coming up in mid-October, and I've got to finish Ted Lasso before that's done. Did you watch Ted Lasso?
No, Apple's like the one I don't have.
You would love it. Let me tell you, you would love it, especially as a soccer fan. It's, I think non-soccer fans love it as well. It's why it won Emmys. But there's so many like inside soccer jokes and inside sport jokes in there that I think go over some viewers' heads that I feel like you especially would appreciate. So if you need a show at some point, I would recommend it.
I have been intrigued by it. There's no doubt about it.
It took me a while too. Like, they're finished with season two. Like, most people that love it have seen it. So I was late to the game as well on it. All right. Back to our Olympic projections. Team Sweden. We've done forwards. We've done defense. Let's get to the goaltending position. Jordan, you're starting goaltender from Team Sweden. This has not been a real debate in a long time because they've had Henrik Lundqvist for 20 years, but Lundqvist obviously now retired. Who would be Sweden's starting goalie in your mind?
I have Robin Lehner,
a former Saber,
starting goalie for Sweden. All right. I think he's been. I mean, he's a Vezina winner. Like, I just think like
Vezina finalist.
Oh, he didn't win.
No, he was. He was a right. No, he didn't win. He won the Masters.
He won one with the Islanders, right?
No, he finished, I think, second that year.
What? All right.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe
third.
You.
He finished third. He finished third with
the Islanders. Oh, gosh.
Vezina finalist.
You could have just left it as he didn't win. You didn't say third.
Well, third's a finalist. Like, that's close.
No, I know. But he's like the 30 guys. I think he's the best one of the list that I've seen. I think he's the best Swedish goalie. Even though, ignore my thought on him winning. He did not win. He came in third, as Joe.
I have him as my starting netminder as well. I think he has established himself as a top tier goalie in the league. I always defended him here in Buffalo. He was not that while he was here in Buffalo. He's definitely seen a rise since then. But I think he's the best Swedish goaltender. And funny enough, I have another former Sabre as his backup. I've got Linus Ullmark. I think we've got a former Sabre 1A, 1B situation going on in Sweden.
So you decided Ullmark over Markstrom?
I did decide Ullmark over Markstrom. I also, though, am a little biased for Linus. I've dug in on the advanced numbers on him the last couple years. I think he's been stupendous.
I mean, Linus is probably going to be awesome.
I have a Vezina bet on him this year.
He's probably going to be awesome. He's going to be like, oh, my gosh, this is so much easier now.
By the way, at betonline.ag, I bet plus 4,500 on Ullmark to win the Vezina. I mean, he's the starting goalie for the Boston Bruins. Plus,
all they need to do is be decent. He'll have a chance.
Yeah. But anyways, Markstrom was tough, though. Like, it was between those two because Markstrom has – he had a down season last year, .904 save percentage. His 5-on-5 save percentage, he was below average among starting goalies in the league. But before that, he had rattled off four solid seasons in a row, all with the Canucks. So really, before he got to Calgary, who gives up a lot of high-danger scoring chances. So it's absolutely defensible. And I think he would be the more popular pick among the consensus. I bet you Markstrom would be the number two. I'm almost projecting out. I think Ullmark will look so good in Boston, who just prevents scoring chances like nobody else, that he's going to look like a star on that team in that system. And I think momentum and hype around Ullmark is going to vault him to maybe even the starting job. I'll say it, like, maybe even the starting job. I would not discount Allmark's ability to wrestle that away. He's got to stay healthy, though, which that doesn't happen.
That's the one thing that I was going to say could keep him from it, is just his own health.
Right.
But yeah, like, the Swedish team, how do you feel about them? Like, I think they are bronze contenders.
Oh, that's a good way of putting it. I think they're very complete, but I don't see a lot of elite offensive ability that can match really the U.S., Canada, or even Russia. Like, Russia has got three sets of wingers that you can fire out line after line after line that can score goals in any moment. Like, I think I had Tarasenko on their fourth line.
Yeah, they never filled the Sedin void, right? Yeah. They never filled like the stars,
right? Like they've got a lot of
their defense. Their star is the defenseman, right? Their best player is a defenseman.
Yes,
great defenseman, the best in the world, but he's still a defenseman, and he's not going to be able to drive the play all that much if the forwards aren't any good. Not saying that they're bad, because they're not bad. They're just
It's a lot of pretty good forwards.
Right.
Like I think Forsberg might be their most consistent scorer over the years.
Consistent.
But again, I think it's Nashville. There's something's going on in Nashville. They are killing all of their offensive players. I mean,
They just seem like Nashville? Like, if I had to say if you were to describe the Nashville Predators, it's defense hockey. For some reason, that's just what I envision the Nashville Predators as.
I think their three best players in franchise history are all defensemen. It's Shea Weber, Ryan Suter, and Roman Josi. So sure. I don't disagree with that. I think they're gonna want to beat Canada and the U.S. 2-1. Right? Like, wouldn't that be their style, is playing defensive? Because they're not going to be able to go toe-to-toe offensively.
I feel like that's always been their style, too, because they had Lundqvist to fall back on. That's going to be another problem, because, like, I think Leonard's good, but it's like, he's not prime Lundqvist.
No, prime Lundqvist was the best goalie in the league.
Yeah, so that's the other problem, is they don't really have that to fall back on either. I'm interested to see if they're going to be better than Finland. I would imagine they would be. Finland's usually not very deep.
Right. And typically they are the ultra defensive team. Like, Sweden will play a little more defensive, but like they've at times been able to swing with the best of them. Like, Finland is always trying to beat you 1-0. Like, they're never attempting to outscore you.
Yeah, they're the goalie factory, right? That's what Finland was called, is the goalie factory.
How about we definitely wouldn't put them over US or Canada, but last thing on Team Sweden for our projection here, would they outrank Russia for you before the tournament?
I don't think so. I think the Russian forwards are too good.
Plus Vasilevsky.
Yeah. Russia has the best goal.
I think I'd agree with you. I'd put Russia over Sweden. I do think the Swedish defense, even though I told you I don't love it, I mean, it certainly crushes Russia's defensive core. I mean, after Sergachev, Provorov, you're struggling.
They might be better than Russia's.
Maybe. Because even Malkin to Backstrom is not that big a gap to me.
No, and Zibanejad is probably he's probably going to drop off eventually. But
like, I think he's a better player than Kuznetsov at this point.
And he's at least right at the peak of his career.
Yeah. So you've convinced me a little bit. I would still go Russia, but I think they're close. They're closer to Russia than Russia is to Canada and the US. I'll say that.
Okay.
All right. Sweden. That was fun.
Yeah. So now we're getting into the sleepers.
Finland. What is Finland? Is Finland a sleeper? Is Finland one of the big guys? You know, are they Finland the big boy is? Table? Or are they the kids?
You know what Finland is? Finland's Butler in college basketball. Finland's like,
they're Boise.
You better not be sleeping on Butler.
Right,
Butler does what Butler does.
Yeah,
but when you get to like Switzerland and them, then you're talking about like UC Irvine.
Yeah, that's Central Connecticut State or something.
Yeah, where it's like, or Stephen F. Austin. They're a 14 seed. They're really good, but you know, how far really is Stephen F. Austin going to go?
They've got those experienced guard play. I always hear that about those.
Finland's going to be a bronze contender, and the other ones are they're the sleepers.
So Finland's almost like on their own tier.
No, because I think they're probably in the same pack. I would expect their team to be better than we think it is.
They usually are. I think I would put them in. I think they're at the big boy table. They're there. They're there with Russia and Sweden. Like, the kids' table is who? The kids' table is Germany and Slovakia. And
I'm telling you, Germany, I for some reason, don't we just feel like we keep getting a new German top five pick?
Yes.
Like, eventually, they might get to the big boy table, but they still got to keep their hockey program going. Because right, because whatever they're doing though is going well. Because they're getting Leon Draisaitls, Tim Stutzels,
Paterkas.
Paterkas. yeah, like, but there are more German players in the NHL now than there were before.
That it was only Marco Sturm and Jochen Hesch before.
Yeah, right? And now we got like even Toby Reeder.
Toby, I forgot about Reeder. Where's he? Did he sign somewhere?
He should sign back with us.
Don't we have enough?
The Reeder hive needs more love.
He's on the Ducks.
Oh, Toby.
We can trade Eichel for him. All right. That will do it for us on the podcast. We'll do Finland and then we'll do like one other podcast. We'll do like the Czech Republic and Germany and Switzerland. We'll talk about them maybe with all within one episode. So we'll do Finland. That sounds right. Right. Like Czech Republic doesn't deserve.
Yeah. Finland, I don't think needs their own show.
Oh, you don't even think Finland deserves their own show.
Well, like if we want to do it, that's fine. But like, I mean, does Finland deserve their own show, but the Czech Republic doesn't? Czech Republic's gone downhill, I think.
Yeah, not quite as much. Slovakia is like nowhere.
Czech Republic doesn't have Hasek anymore.
Right.
Well, I mean, I love the lesser teams. Like they're more interesting.
I'm looking at leading scorers from Czech Republic last year, though. Like they got some guys. They got Pasternak. They've got Vrana. They've got Palat. They've got Nikas from Carolina.
Yeah, they're not bad.
Like they're okay. They maybe don't deserve their own episode. Maybe we'll do. How about here's what we'll do. We'll do Finland and Czech Republic in the same episode, and we'll do the rest in another.
Is Slovenia in the tournament? So we could have Kopitar, Kopitar's brother, and Kopitar's dad.
Did that happen? Yeah. Did you see the 6-year-old?
The team was literally just run by Kopitars.
Did you see the 60-year-old vice president from Suriname who played in a CONCACAF game the other day?
I kind of love it. I love it.
Let's see. I don't have Slovenia making the tournament. We've got Group A.
I don't think they did. They just had the one year where
our group. We'll start from the bottom up because I want this country to be the last name I read. But Group C is Finland, Sweden, Slovakia, and Latvia.
Okay.
Group B is not Russia. The Russian Olympic Committee, Czech Republic, Switzerland, and Denmark.
Oh, Denmark.
Denmark's got like Franz Nielsen and play. And then Group A is Canada, the U.S., Germany, and China.
Oh well, they're the host.
They're the host, and they got the group with Canada and the U.S. What is that? What is the spread on Canada China? Is it -12? Do we see a football spread for that hockey game?
China's probably going to have a similar team that they had last time. Mm-hmm. Or no, that was Japan. No. Well, there was a team last time that I think
South Korea.
They had a lot of players that were like American that played over there or like were able to somehow get like a citizenship or something.
Uh-huh.
Like there was like a thing where like a lot of their players were just like American players.
I got to tell you, I'm looking at the Chinese national hockey team right now, and that is not the case.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's interesting. I like new teams, so that'll be interesting.
All right.
But yeah, I don't like their odds if we're talking about that. But
Wait a minute. Real quick before we end. I know we're going long here, but I saw Olympic hockey odds at Bet Online, and would China even be listed, or would they just not even bother? Here we go. Winter Olympic
cities. Chances to win.
What was Leicester City?
50.
It was plus, wasn't it plus 5,000? No, 5,000 was. So it was plus 50,000.
Yeah.
China. Here we go. A Winter Olympic futures. Olympic men's tournament.
Win winner. Gold?
To win gold.
Zero.
China. Plus 100,000.
Yeah.
You bet $1. You bet $10. To win 10,000. You know what? That's not good. That's not long enough odds. They need to be longer than that.
Oh, it's $10. It's $100 to win. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, $10 to win.
10,000 to 1. 10, they're 10,000 to 1. That's amazing.
You want to put that money? You want to put that money down?
All right. Next episode, we preview the Chinese Olympic hockey team here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports. Jordan's at JR Hanskin. We'll in a coming episode, we'll do our opening night lineup draft, kind of preview you for opening night as we're preseason is under a week away. So we'll have more Sabre stuff coming as well, but fun doing this Olympic stuff. So thanks everybody for listening and check us out on YouTube as well. And this has been the Locked On Sabres podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.